Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. I'm happy to announce that the LQ Wiki has now reached 3,000 articles. This is a goal that we've been chasing for a little while now, and while reaching the goal took just a little bit longer than I had initially anticipated, participation at the LQ Wiki has really, really been picking up lately, which of course is fantastic. We have a number of really high quality regular contributors now, and traffic really just in general has been steadily growing. And as I'd mentioned on a previous podcast, the recent addition of OpenID should also serve to further lower the barrier to participation, which I'm hoping increases participation. If the LQ Wiki isn't something you've contributed to yet, head over and take a look at wiki.linuxquestions.org. And keep in mind you can choose between either the Creative Commons by SA license or the GFDL, so all your contributions, regardless of which one you choose, will remain freely distributable, and of course you're free to do with them what you'd like. As always, if you have any feedback on the LQ Wiki, or as always, any LQ site, please do let us know. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is Torvalds pretty pleased about the new GPL v3 draft. And this is sort of a follow-up. On last week's podcast, I covered how he felt about the GPL version 2. And now that the third draft of the GPL version 3 has been released, it's great to see that Linus is pretty pleased with it. Despite what some are saying, I think that Linus's opinion on this matter does matter quite a bit. I mean, in reality, he did start one of the most successful GPL projects ever, so him rejecting the GPL version 3, I think, has the potential to create a pretty big fissure in the general GPL landscape. Here's a quote from the article. Quote, "I'm actually pretty pleased. Not because I think it's perfect, but simply because I think it's certainly a lot better than I really expected from the previous drafts," he said. "Whether it's actually a better license than the GPL version 2, I'm still a bit skeptical. But at least it's now I'm skeptical rather than hell no. In particular, one provision against digital rights management has been narrowed, and another that Torvalds feared could lead to multiple incompatible versions of the GPL has been removed or defanged. I'm much happier with many parts of it. I think much of it reads better, and some of the worst horrors have been removed entirely," Torvalds said. Torvalds was noncommittal about whether he might try to move the Linux kernel to GPL 3, a change that would require the permission not just of Torvalds, but also of other Linux copyright holders. But he didn't rule it out. "The current draft makes me think it's at least possible in theory, but whether it's practical and worth it is a totally different thing," he said. "Practically speaking, it would involve a lot of work to make sure everything relevant is GPL v3 compatible, even if we decide that the GPL 3 is okay." End quote. Now, to be honest, I have not had a chance to thoroughly read through the new draft, but I'm not a lawyer anyway, and my opinion on the subject hardly matters. The Free Software Foundation had previously intimated that the new draft would prevent deals like the recent Novell-Microsoft patent covenant, but for its part, Novell seems to think that's not the case. And this is a quote directly from the Novell PR blog. Quote, "Here's Novell's position on the new draft. We will continue to distribute Linux. Nothing in the new draft of GPL version 3 inhibits Novell's ability to include GPL 3 technologies in SUSE Linux Enterprise, OpenSUSE, and other Novell open source offerings now or in the future. This is good news for our customers. We are firmly committed to continuing the partnership with Microsoft and, as we have, fully complying with the terms of the license for the software that we ship, including software licensed under the GPL 3. If the final version of GPL 3 does potentially impact the agreement we have with Microsoft, we'll address that with Microsoft." End quote. Now, a cursory glance at the new draft would seem to indicate that one of the clauses that was addition made by the FSF is the following. "Each contributor grants you a non-exclusive worldwide royalty-free patent license under the contributor's essential patent claims in its contribution to make, use, sell, offer for sale, import or otherwise run, modify, and propagate the contribution." Now, I don't know enough about legalese to suss out really whether that would actually invalidate the Microsoft Novell agreement. However, it's extremely encouraging to see that things are headed in the right direction now, and I think for the first time this draft has everyone on a consensus that things are going well. Now, a follow-up on the specific language as far as Microsoft and Novell deal goes, Allison over at the O'Reilly Radar blog has posted a good piece on some of those modifications, and this is from that post. Quote, "The core of the added language is, you may not convey a covered work if you are party to an arrangement with a third party that is in the business of distributing software, under which you make payment to the third party based on the extent of your activity of conveying the work, and under which the third party grants to any of the parties who would receive the covered work from you a patent license, A, in connection with copies of the covered work conveyed by you and or copies made from those, or B, primarily for and in connection with specific products or compilations that contain the covered work, which license does not cover, prohibits the exercise of, or is conditioned on the non-exercise of any of the rights that are specifically granted to recipients of the covered work under the license." It is, as an editorial note, by the way, paragraphs like that that make me glad I'm not a lawyer. Back to the blog post. Translating that into plain English, it says, if you distribute GPL software and make a deal with another company who also distributes some kind of software, we will stop you from distributing the GPL software if A, you pay the other company, B, the deal mentions the GPL software, C, you get a patent license, D, the patent license mentions the GPL software, E, the patent license has more limited terms than the GPL license on the software. End quote. And she then goes through some of her other objections with the terms. And the part that I agree most with, although she does make a couple other good points, and a part that I've actually covered here on the podcast before, is this one. Quote, "My fourth objection is embodied in the old adage, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. The FSF had success in the past accomplishing one goal with a license, so now they're trying to accomplish a broad range of goals using the same tool. But a license really isn't the best tool to accomplish some of these goals. Particularly, it's not a good tool for attempting to abolish software patents or prevent companies from making patent agreements." End quote. And I have to agree, a license simply is not the place for every battle. But that being said, and I've just said this in the last story, it's good to see that in general people think this is moving in the right direction. The Free Software Foundation seems to be taking feedback extremely seriously and making real changes based on that feedback. And like I said, this draft has been received much better than previous ones. Continuing on the GPL version 3 topic, the next story I have is Open Source Expert Speaks Out on GPL v3. And this was an extremely informative guest post by Mark Radcliffe over at the Open Sources InfoWorld blog. From the post, quote, "Mark Radcliffe joins us this week to give his expert opinion on the latest draft of the GPL version 3. Mark is a friend and one of the industry's premier IP attorneys, especially with open source licensing questions. He is outside counsel for the OSI and chairs Committee C in the GPL version 3 drafting process. In other words, he knows his stuff. Dave and I invited Mark to contribute to open sources on the GPL version 3, and here's his response. The most recent draft of the GPL version 3 was released on Wednesday, March 28th. This guest blog will summarize the legal issues in the draft and some of the open issues. I have been involved in the process since the beginning because I am chair of Committee C, the Users Committee, and I serve as outside general counsel on a pro bono basis for the open source initiative. These comments are mine alone and do not represent the views of any of my clients. The draft is part of a year-long process in preparing the first new version of the GPL in 15 years. The existing version of the General Public License, GPL v2, is, by far, the most widely used open-source license. More than 70% of all open-source projects on SourceForge are licensed under the GPL version 2. GPL version 2 is used by many well-known programs, such as the MySQL database and the Linux operating system." End quote. He then goes on to detail, at a high but fairly in-depth level, the changes that have been made between this draft and the last draft. And based on the feedback, like I said, there are some important changes there. So if this is a story you've been following, you definitely want to head over and read the whole post. He then also goes on to detail kind of what the rest of the draft process will look like as far as when the next draft is due, how that draft's going to come out, and then when the final license will actually come out after that. So a very informative post that you're going to want to read if the GPL version 3 is a topic that interests you. Last story I have is Oracle Linux adopters labeled idiots. And this is a somewhat odd story that I ran into over at ZDNet.au. And I'll start out with a quote from the article. Quote, "One of the first converts to Oracle's support for Linux has revealed the public backlash it has endured since the decision to drop Red Hat. Melbourne company Ops Prime Stockbroking told ZDNet Australia that in the weeks following its announcement to adopt Oracle Linux, upset Linux enthusiasts phoned, emailed, and wrote about the company online to complain about the decision. People called us out of the blue to tell us we were idiots," said Ops Executive Director Anthony Blumberg. He also fielded a call from an unhappy Red Hat Australia and New Zealand Managing Director Max McLaren. End quote. Now, I'm not at all familiar with this company, to be honest, and also hadn't seen any bashing going on. Not to say that it didn't, I just hadn't run across it. But I have trouble managing why any quote-unquote Linux enthusiast would take the time to do something like this. If you're not a customer or stockholder in the company, I can't see why you would call them up and say anything. I can see why Red Hat would call them up to see why they lost him as a client, but that's the only exception there. If they did do this, it's surely not indicative of the attitude of the larger Linux community. Now, looking a little bit into the history of things here, this company seems like a prime target for Oracle product anyways. It seems to be who Oracle was targeting. First of all, they weren't even a Red Hat customer. They didn't acquire anything from Red Hat. They had acquired the licenses through Dell, which means Dell actually provides the first level of support, not Red Hat. Secondly, the company has a very, very small number of servers, just a handful, but is a huge and heavy Oracle user, and they don't only use Oracle, the database, they use the app servers, and pretty much the whole stack. So if this story is true, and it's not the result of some misguided astroturfing or something along those lines, I hope it doesn't end up reflecting poorly on kind of the greater open source and Linux ecosystem. The level of professionalism that I've seen recently in the open source realm is truly second to none. It's just a high integrity, very transparent thing, and that's one thing I value quite a bit. So it's a shame when a disingenuous few have the potential to tarnish the hard-earned reputation of most. That is all I have for now, but thanks for listening.